News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
There is a significant threat to our youth that they are being radicalized by violent vegetables. Not real violent vegetables, AI violent vegetables. Dr. Matthew Sadlier is with us. He's president of the IMO and consultant psychiatrist. Matthew, I believe you have seen these violent vegetables. Can you give us a sense of what they are?
Well, and I've read about them. I haven't actually seen them because that would require having to go on TikTok, which I wouldn't do. This has happened before with online content, where there was a thing called ElsaGate about 10 years ago with YouTube, where it's an attempt by somebody to beat the content moderation algorithm by using kind of childhood aesthetic. So by using kind of Pixar-like quality of a cartoon, but the message the cartoon is selling is this one of a radicalization. Apparently, they have been the international group that looks at these on extremism and terrorism feels some of them are coming from ISIS, which wouldn't be a massive concern, I imagine, in this country. But the bit that would concern us more is this sort of nihilistic extremism, where this kind of message to kind of lost, lonely teenagers that, you know, the solution to their misery is kind of to destroy society or destroy other people.
Conveyed through cartoon vegetables.
Well, I say the message, the reason it's conveyed to the vegetable is, as I say, to beat the content moderation algorithm. So if it was a person talking to a camera, the algorithm, the content moderation software would probably pick that up. But by using childhood aesthetics, they're hoping to trick the content moderation AI algorithm that modifies these things on these platforms to think that it's a childish cartoon. Because ultimately, if you think about it, you know, a lot of the cartoons I certainly would have watched in my youth, things like Tom and Jerry and Roadrunner, you know, contained a lot of cartoon violence in it. Now, you know, I'm not sure if that was particularly radicalizing. So the concept that you have a violent cartoon is not particularly unusual. So that might get passed. But then there's a message within that. And the message is, you know, not this little mouse has annoyed me, so I'm going to try and hit it with a comic hammer, you know, and the cartoon violence. The message is, you know, your life is terrible. Your life has been made terrible because of these things. And whether it's a manosphere, misogynistic message, whether it's a general society nihilistic message, whether it's an anarchist message. But this sort of message of the response to your misery is, you know, violence or to act that out on people. And I mean, we've seen so many acts from, you know, that horrendous, you know, mass murder in Norway to other shootings that have been kind of inspired by radicalization online of people through different formats. And this is basically the same stuff.
So, just to take one example as case in point, they use an AI created childlike looking image of a vegetable, which then talks about sort of neo-Nazi style themes. They describe an Atomwaffen division. They talk about nihilistic violence. There's no lives matter. So it is all of the stuff that you would see in the culture wars, but it's put through childish imagery. Is that because it is to appeal to children, or is that because it is to appeal to adults and get around the algorithm?
I'd say both. I'd say the people who make this don't really care who it appeals to, so long as it gets out there. But I mean, certainly, taking the ElsaGate example, you know, the reason that was used was, again, to get around that algorithm. That the fact that if it's, you know, if there was a chap dressed in an army uniform with swastikas, you know, hanging in the background, it's likely the algorithm would have picked that up, would flag it, and you'd hope that the platforms would take that down. If it's a tomato, you know, a cartoon tomato saying the same message, the algorithm mightn't pick it up. And one assumes, obviously, I don't know exactly, and I presume very few people do, because, you know, you'd have to get into the mind of the people that make this stuff. But I mean, that would be the most reasonable explanation. And that's certainly what has happened before.
Now, how good, Matthew, are people at dismissing this kind of stuff? Because there's form for it. I mean, some of the cartoons that were released by the Americans in the Second World War were some of the most racist and deliberately propagandizing racist forms of TV and cinema at the time, with a clear intent to turn people at the time against both the Germans and the Japanese. Does it actually work, or do people see through it?
This is the problem, and that we're into kind of social psychology, and that really depends on how much your society is reinforcing it. So obviously during warfare, you know, and if you were in London and there's bombs coming down on your head, then it's very easy to believe that narrative. So it's the societal context. I suppose in the modern world and where we are, the concern is that it may affect that 5, 6, 10% of the population who feel disaffected, who feel that society in some way has blocked their path to whatever they feel should be their entitled position, and that this is the message as to why they haven't achieved where they are. It plays on their insecurities, it plays on their anger, it plays on their feeling of removed expectations, and then you might get the radicalized violence from there. And I suppose, like, the problem with all this sort of extremist stuff is you don't need to convert the whole, in a war you need to convert the whole population, but in these circumstances they only need to convert a very tiny amount of the population who then can cause a huge amount of chaos.
Do you despair to some extent? Because the amount of stories that we see of the social media giants allowing content that we know to be harmful, that we know to run counter to the democratic process, it is an unending litany at this point.
Absolutely. And the problem is, like, we've allowed these technologies and these companies and these products to happen, and they appeared without any regulation. And their default message is anybody can put up on my platform what they want. And the concept is, if it's dangerous, then we will take it down. Rather than the default for yourself and your station and other radio stations, which is we have to check what we put up before we put it up for public consumption and make sure that it meets certain standards. And so long as you have that default that, you know, the security and the safety of these platforms is all retrospective, you know, if you see a harmful video, report it and now we'll take it down. But you're like, but by that stage, how many 100,000 people have seen it and how many 100,000 of people have, you know, copied it and put it out on multiple platforms? And whether it's extremist pornography, whether it's extremist political messaging, until we have a more prospective method of screening, we're going to constantly keep running into these problems.
Matthew, thank you very much. Dr. Matthew Sadlier there, president of the IMO and consultant psychiatrist.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.